Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another News in Focus podcast. Let me clear the frog out of my throat. It is January 5th, 2014. This is my first podcast in the year 2014. So let me extend to everyone a happy new year. I had a great Christmas vacation, and I hope you did as well. The skiing was excellent. I went to Boyne Mountain the first time. It really shouldn't be called mountain. I understand that. It's in the hills of Michigan, but for the state of Michigan and especially the lower peninsula, it was excellent skiing with fresh powder first day I was there. Obviously, I didn't turn on the mic to talk about my Christmas vacation or where I went skiing, although I would take an invite out to Vail or Colorado by anybody out there in a heartbeat. And I'd also like to try snowshoe in West Virginia. I've heard that that's a great place for the southeast, again, our little corner of the world. One time I skied in Switzerland, which was incredible. I wish I could do that again. More publishers investigate Mark Driscoll. That's the name of this the title of this article. It's coming to us from World Magazine, and the author is Warren Cole Smith. Now, if you're not tracking what is going on with Mark Driscoll and plagiarism, you need to go back and listen to Trevor Hammock's podcast on Driscoll. And I'm sure that it'd be easy to find. Just search the word Driscoll and they'll come flying up on the Sermon Audio webpage. And Trevor did several podcasts on the issue, and I'll be surprised if he doesn't do one on this as well. This was posted January 2nd, 2014 at 4:41. And like I said, today is Sunday, January 5th. At least two more Christian publishers are investigating concerns of plagiarism regarding Mark Driscoll, pastor of Mars Hill Church. Now, allegedly, and that's really being gracious, allegedly, Driscoll has plagiarized on several occasions. All right, this is me talking to you. He plagiarized from, it looks like, allegedly, from D.A. Carson's works. And now another example is being presented in this article. Crossway, which published Driscoll's Death by Love, issued a statement saying, quote, "We are in touch with Mars Hill and are conducting an internal review to ensure that our books published by Mark Driscoll have proper citation and documentation." See, that's the issue. That's why he's being accused of plagiarism, because he seems to not understand the idea that when you borrow information from another author, it is your responsibility to say where that came from and to give credit where credit is due. As of right now, we're not sure when the internal review will be complete. Driscoll has published 9 books with Crossway, so they've got to go through 9 books. NavPress issued a statement on December 29th saying it too was investigating Driscoll's work, adding, "We have chosen to respond to Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill directly and will keep the conversation private among both parties." You see, it's embarrassing to NavPress, it's embarrassing to Crossway, and it's embarrassing to Tyndall, which is the first publisher. It's embarrassing that they have books out there on the shelves of pastors and libraries in various locations in which plagiarism has occurred. You see, the team of editors is supposed to make sure that doesn't happen. Of course, in many regards, that's a very difficult task. You would have to have read all books and have perfect memory to know whether Driscoll is presenting his own material or, in fact, is quoting. You see, this is a matter of integrity. Concerns of plagiarism came to light in November when Driscoll appeared on nationally syndicated Jan Mefford show. Mefford is spelled M-E-F-F-E-R-D. And she, on the air, confronted Driscoll with accusations and examples of alleged plagiarism. And again, like I said, if you'd like to hear that show, because it's been pulled off the air, but Trevor Hammock has preserved it for eternity or until the Lord returns in a podcast on Sermon Audio. In the days that followed, Medford posted these examples online, though she ultimately issued an on-air apology. And again, pictures have not been lost. Even though she pulled it off her website, there's no doubt that there is abilities to go back and find this information. What she did is she put JPEGs of, this is Driscoll's work, this is D.A. Carson's work, and notice how similar it is. Notice that there isn't that little upper little number thing there or an asterisk, or notice it doesn't have an introductory method of saying where it came from. None of those telltale signs that indicate this isn't my work. You know, sometimes we indent, sometimes we put it in italics, but there are various ways in which you can clearly make it obvious to the author that this is not your work, that you're borrowing this, and maybe you're borrowing it for credibility, or it fits well with your argument, or any number of things. The controversy did not go away. So in spite of Medford pulling everything down from the website, that just didn't make the controversy go away. You see, Driscoll issued a statement saying mistakes were made that I am grieved by and apologize for. But this statement issued in conjunction with Tyndale House Publishers did not address these new concerns. The controversy is also spilling into the, notice please, mainstream media. The technology firm, and it's like Authenticate, only it's Inthicate. Let me spell it for you. I-T-H-E-N-T-I-C-A-T-E. Inthicate. Seems clever. Authenticate, which produces software to identify plagiarism called Driscoll's Controversy. Listen to this. The number three plagiarism story of the year, behind allegations that Rand Paul plagiarized portions of key political speeches and that Shia LaBeouf, and that's L-A-B-E-O-U-F, and I'm sure I butchered that. That's not intentional. I just have never heard of this woman, and I presume that that's a rough pronunciation. She directed a short film that inappropriately borrowed from the work of another author. All right, Authenticates, that's the name of the firm, that's the technology firm which produces software to identify plagiarism, right? That's their job. Their goal is to identify plagiarism. And now think about how easy it is becoming and will continue to become to identify plagiarism when so many new books are being created for Kindles, which is obviously a digitized version, making it exceptionally easy to search through works and look for similar phrases. All you preachers out there that maybe are listening, think about your Logos Bible software and how you have digital copies of all these books and how you can take your search engine and search 10,000 books and you can look for particular phrases. And so again, you could grab a phrase from Driscoll's book at 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 words. You know, something more than of the, something substantial with particular words in it. And then you could search for it and you could see whether that shows up in any other publication. Then you could identify who's copying from who based on when the book was published. You see, it's not that hard. That's the point I'm making here. And this is why when Medford's show went live and she made that initial accusation that her email box exploded because people can begin to assist in looking for this plagiarism. All right, so let's talk about Authenticate. Jonathan Bailey made a particular note of, and I quote, the allegations Driscoll worked to silence the criticism against him. Driscoll worked to silence the criticism. Now, Bailey is not a preacher. Bailey is not a known Christian. He may be a Christian, but he's not a scholar or a Christian author or anything that we know in particular. He is a representative of Authenticate. And this is what he says. The allegations that Driscoll worked to silence the criticism against him, adding, the scandal raised serious questions about journalism in matters of religion, and those questions will not likely die away anytime soon. Now, that's pretty much what Trevor Hammock made a significant point, was what is going on in the Christian world in which Christian celebrities can do what they want, say what they want, and there's virtually no accountability. I mean, think about it. Hammock's in Texas. I'm over here in North Carolina, and we have a few people that listen to some podcasts that we do every now and then. We're not a John MacArthur. We're not a John Piper. We don't have any national syndicated shows. No one would recognize our name from any other name of the tens of thousands of preachers across the United States. So, who's going to bring what Trevor wants to fruition? And that is accountability. Who's going to bring Driscoll to account for this alleged sin? And at what point will there be sufficient proof to stop using the word alleged and recognize that he did, in fact, plagiarize? And what will Mars Hill do? And I'm here to tell you, here's my prediction. Nothing. Nothing. You say, why? Well, let me tell you how it works. Driscoll started Mars Hill. Okay, he started it. He started that church. And so if you're an elder in that church, you love Driscoll. You love Driscoll more than many other things. And you wouldn't ever conceive of the idea of removing the CEO of the corporation that he started. And therein lacks the problem. All right, now let me just conclude with a bit from the Word of God. Let me grab my Bible. We are preaching from this text this morning, so it really seemed quite appropriate that I bring this to your attention. This Sunday morning, we're starting our series on the 10 most important chapters in the Bible. The 10 most important chapters in the Bible, and I decided to start with 2 Timothy chapter 3 because of the significant verse in the text, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and you're familiar with that. But I noticed as I was studying this in preparation for the preaching of God's Word this morning at Berean, that verse 10 calls to Timothy's attention Paul's manner of life. Let me read the verse to you. In the King James, Paul writes, "But thou," referring to Timothy, "hast fully known my doctrine," my manner of life, my aim or purpose is how it's rendered in the ESV, "my faith, my long-suffering, my love or charity, my patience or steadfastness, my persecutions, my afflictions." And Paul is bringing to Timothy's attention that his life is worthy of emulation. It's worthy of examination. That we will not find inconsistencies in Paul's manner of life. You see, manner of life matters. Manner of life matters. And Driscoll needs to step up and fully own this problem. That's what he needs to do. You see, according to Paul, again, in 1 Timothy 3, this is a true saying, that if a man desires the office of a bishop, that is an overseer, and clearly Driscoll is an overseer. Remember, he has churches that he pastors in multiple states. He desires a good work. Verse 2, chapter 3, 1 Timothy. "A bishop then must be blameless." At what point will Mars Hill recognize that their bishop is no longer blameless? That's the question I'm asking. Now you say to me, who are you to throw stones? Well, if other Christians do not talk about this, who will bring Christians to accountability? Do you not think that bringing brothers and sisters to accountability is part of the Christian way of life? Have you forgotten that Paul confronted Peter to his face concerning his hypocrisy? You say, then why aren't you doing this in a private manner? Because it's no longer private. It's public. This, we have a secular company. We have a secular company, a mainstream secular company investigating plagiarism by Mark Driscoll. We have done exactly what Paul said should not happen. Christians are going to secular judges and asking them to settle matters. And you say, well, that's not quite the same parallel. Okay, I agree with you. Driscoll didn't go to the secular entity. The secular entity inserted itself into the controversy because it believes it has a moral obligation to investigate plagiarism. Now consider that very idea. A non-Christian entity is investigating a Christian entity for its plagiarism. And the reason it's having to do that is because Driscoll is not owning the sin. And so if more preachers across the United States, especially those with pull, would step up to the plate and say, Driscoll, you're not representing us well. Own the problem or resign. See, Driscoll laughs at guys like me and Hammack. We pastor small churches. I don't have a church in three states. I don't have 15,000 Twitter followers. But the picture in the article has Driscoll at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Now think about the irony of that. At Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, which is right up the road from where I live, if you were to do what Driscoll did in the term paper that you wrote, you would probably, at a bare minimum, get a zero, fail the course, and put on academic some type of a suspension or probation. If you were to do it more than once, I dare say that they would throw you out of the school. But yet, once you graduate and have a big church, everything's fine? Because you become like above the law? Is that where we're at in Christianity? Thanks for listening. You have a happy new year.